This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Reynolds of Dogman.com with Chris Vetter, Scott Eklund, and we are on the verge of having a new head coach at the University of Washington. Everything indicates that Jed Fish, the head coach at Arizona, will be the new head coach, and we're doing things a little bit different where we will typically just wait until it is official, but everything's indicating that that's going to be the hire, and you'll have to excuse us up front because all three of us will be multitasking. Our text messages are blowing up. We're checking online and checking everything and just taking everything to make sure that we get it official. So it could become official during this podcast. So we wouldn't be doing this podcast if we didn't think that this was going to happen. As most of you know, we're pretty conservative in the way that we do things. But again, everything indicates that Jed Fish is the guy. So just initial reactions, Chris Fetters.
I think in the short term, this is the guy they had to get, because I think this is the guy that probably closest resembles the kind of guy that at least the kind of offense that Kalen DeBoer was running with Ryan Grubb. They're clearly going to have to do some different things defensively because Johnny Nansen went from Arizona to Texas along with Dwayne Akina. So there's some things they have to do there defensively, and they were going to do that anyways. So I think in terms of at least offensive identity, this is about as close as they were going to get to what Grubb and DeBoer were doing. So hopefully that means a lot of retention because there's guys that have gone into the portal. Hopefully they can get them back. Hopefully they can get some other guys to fit in the mix. But I think right now in the short term, this is the guy they had to get.
And Scott, just initial reactions.
He was one of the first guys that I really was excited about when I thought about, okay, well, since we can't have, you know, Washington can't have DeBoer, it's, you know, Jed Fish would be a great, you know, transition guy. There are some other guys that maybe I would have liked a little bit better that have been mentioned. I've mentioned them on the board. I've, you know, all that different stuff. But Fish seems like a good coach. He took Arizona. Arizona was depleted athletically. They were terrible. They were a horrible program when he took over, and he's built them into a team that scares everyone, really. And Arizona was 10-3, and they beat Oklahoma. I mean, that should tell you right there what he can do once he's given the opportunity and the amount of time to build up his roster.
And as I said, we're going to be updating some things as we do this podcast. So just a text from one of our friends over at KJR, Ashley Ryan. For all the UW flight tracker people, there's a flight on the way from Tucson to Boeing Field expected to land in just over an hour. Could be
okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
I already put it up.
Could be nothing. Could be fishing.
It legitimately could be nothing. But.
Yeah. Well, that's what I just said. Yeah, it could be nothing. But like just I said, we'll update this as we're kind of going along. That's what's kind of making this one unique. And, you know, hey, Scott, you follow the Seahawks pretty heavily. Jed Fish has got, not only Jed Fish, but the offensive coordinator there has some ties to the Seattle area.
Yeah. Is the guy, the OC, who was it? Was it Jimmy or was it Jordan?
No, it's Pete Brennan Carroll's kid.
Oh, Brennan Carroll. Sorry, my bad. All right, so, there you go. So my head has been spinning with all these guys. So, I mean, it's big news, you know, to bring a guy back who knows the area, kind of knows the culture up here a little bit. How long was he at with the Seahawks? Was it 2 or 3 years? 2 years?
You talking about Brennan Carroll?
No, Jed Fish.
Fish, just 1 year.
Oh, just 1 year. Okay, yeah. So, but, I mean, he's been up here. He knows what it's like up here. He's been around the Pac-12 long enough to understand the Washington Husky football culture. I'm sure he's going to get another, dose of that here and kind of learn a little bit more, just like Kalen DeBoer had to, just like Troy Dannon had to when he got here. So, but no, it's I think that this in the long run is a great fit from a coaching standpoint, not just philosophy, but also he understands how to build culture and he's got culture. Or he understands the culture around the program.
Just another live update, according to Matt Zenitz from 24/7 that we work with pretty closely. I had several conversations with him last night. Reporting Jed Fish has started telling people at Arizona that he's accepting the head coaching job at Washington. Sources tell Tom Loy, who's just a great guy over at the Notre Dame site, and me. Arizona has a staff meeting set for 4 p.m. Pacific time and a team staff meeting at 4 o'clock and a team meeting at 4:30 per sources.
And that's also been confirmed by Jason Shear, who runs the Arizona site for the 24/7 Sports Network. And he's the one that actually had initially announced that Fish is going to accept this job.
And Chris, do you want to, like I said, this is just kind of, we're just kind of all multitask. If you can get that up on the front page, it would be great if it's not already there.
Yep,
okay. Okay. Like I said, a little bit behind the scenes as we're doing stuff on the fly. I talked to Jason Shear, who runs the Arizona site down at Arizona, a couple of bits of information from him. He said Fish's buyout is approximately $5.5 million, which is really not that bad since Washington got $12 million on Kalen DeBoer, so they've got some wiggle room there to work with. Also asked him which assistants on the staff that he would imagine coming over, and he said probably Jimmy Doherty, who was a wide receiver coach here under Rick Neuheisel, so he's got some history. He said that their wide receivers coach Cummings would probably come with them, and then Jordan Pau-Pau, the tight end coach that was here for a long time, would probably be coming with them. And Chris, I can't wait to see Jordan back in the end zone on those 95-degree days, all in his sweating gear, just running back and forth in the end zone, just trying to sweat it out.
He always looked like one of those guys that was trying to get weight for wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Like he was always trying to make weight. And it was just really, really funny to watch. But one of my favorite coaches, Jordan, is fantastic. If people don't remember, Jordan's the one that brought Jack West over to UW as a walk-on initially. So he has obviously a phenomenal eye for the evaluations and finding the hidden gems. I would also say, obviously, Jimmy Doherty has connections with Sark. He would be the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator. But the nice thing about this is that it's a nice setup, kind of like with DeBoer and Grubb, with the kind of their setup. The setup with Fish and Jimmy Doherty is very similar as well. And the other thing with Brendan Carroll is if Brendan Carroll comes, he's also the offensive line coach, which is interesting that he's the O-line coach and the coordinator. So clearly they've made it work really, really well down in Tucson. But there's certainly some threads with Washington already that makes it an even better kind of connection so far.
Hey, Scott, a couple more notes, and I want you to comment on these. But back in the day when Jimmy Doherty was here, if I recall, His dad was a big time football coach back in the Midwest. I think it was Michigan. So
yeah, and then he went and worked for Harbaugh, or was it Harbaugh or somebody else that he went and worked for? But whoever it was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. And the other thing is, we knew Jordan pretty well when he was here, Jordan Pau-Pau, and I just remember when he did not get retained. He was crushed. He was really crushed. He really loved it here. So if Jordan has a chance to come back, I'm going to be pretty happy for that guy. He's still got some UW DNA in him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was the holdover from Sark to Peterson.
Right.
Like Scott Huff was the one from Jimmy Lake to DeBoer. Jordan Pau-Pau was that bridge from Sark to Peterson and really integrated himself well, recruited pretty well at the position, and he recruits down there pretty well as well. He doesn't just help out with the tight ends. He does a lot of other stuff with the offensive guys, and he's someone who, I mean, if I'm trying to remember the name of the tight end that signed with Oregon, but then I think transferred out. I can't remember where he wound up, but he was a big time tight end guy. And when Jordan wasn't retained, he basically eliminated Washington because he was set to commit to Washington. And
are you talking about Matavao?
Yeah, Mateo Matavao.
Did he end up at UCLA?
Yeah, I honestly, unless the kids are that interested in Washington afterwards, I have a hard time keeping track of them. So, but yeah, I mean, I know that he signed with Oregon, but then I can't remember what he ended up doing. Anyway, whatever it was, Jordan Pau-Pau can recruit, and he's got a great eye for evaluation, and he does have the desire to be an offensive coordinator down the road. I don't know about head coach, but definitely wants to be an offensive coordinator down the road. So he has learned more of the offense than just what the tight ends do.
And also, think about it this way, guys. Not only did he get Westover, but think about the other guys that are in the NFL right now, like Drew Sample, Will Disley. I mean, Pau-Pau is a guy that can produce him, he can evaluate him, and he can develop him and get him to the next level. Obviously, that's what everyone's looking for.
Yeah, you know, selfishly, I'm hoping that he can reach out to Scott Huff and see if Scott wants to remain here. I texted with him a little bit last night. We'll see if that can happen. But is there anybody on this current staff that you would think that has a chance of remaining here on staff?
I would have said Nick Sheridan for a while, depending on who the coach was. But since it sounds like Jimmy Doherty has a good opportunity to come back, since it sounds like Jordan Pau-Pau, possibly Brendan Carroll, I just don't see a place for Nick Sheridan on the staff, a spot. But he's one that I could have seen sticking around. I also could have seen Jamarcus Shepherd sticking around, but it sounds like he's headed to Alabama. Maybe William Inge. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, the only one I'm looking at that maybe has a shot is Lee Marks.
Well, Lee Marks could do it because we have no idea what Scotty Graham's going to do at Arizona. He's their running backs coach, and it hasn't really been announced what Lee Marks' future is going to be at Alabama, because it's been reported by some that Scott Huff will join Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer down at Alabama. Now, defensively, it could be a field day, because it really sounds like both Chuck Cecil and Ricky Hundley, both really obviously very proud UA alums and coaches there, are probably not going to come to Seattle. And so you're looking at trying to fit in some defensive back coaches, some linebacker coaches, some defensive line coaches. Now, they've got Inoki Brechterfield already in Seattle. Maybe he could stay. They've got to replace an edge coach anyways because they don't have Eric Schmidt. Could Julius Brown stay? He could be a guy that I could see stay, depending on what happens, because Fish is not going to be bringing a DB coach with him. So lots of holes to fill on the defensive side for sure.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy. And not only this coaching search has been crazy, but it just seems like everybody entered the portal. And the one that I was kind of hoping wouldn't was Austin Mack. But that sure looks – that happened. And, you know, Nate Kolepo entered the transfer portal. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of roster retention he can get.
Well, right now I updated the roster numbers, guys, earlier today when there was a handful of guys like Nate Kolepo, Dyson McCutcheon. There was a couple of other guys.
Mack, Austin Mack.
Obviously Austin Mack. And then I think there was another one. I can't remember. But, clearly Austin Mack is the guy for the future that everyone wanted to see if they could hold. Want to caution Washington fans. Going into the portal is not a big deal anymore. He can very easily come out. So you can envision a situation where when Fish is announced and he does his talks with the team and gets to talk to some of the individuals. Austin Mack's still on campus, guys. He's still going to school, doing all that stuff.
Hey, Chris, one thing to add real quick. I'm sorry, just to add context. The entire wide receiver group was leaving when DeBoer was hired.
Yeah.
And they got them to stay. So yeah, it can happen. Sorry, Chris, yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, but you're right. But it's the point of fact is it's just when fans see players going into the portal, they think that they're just going to transfer out and there's no way they can come back. They can absolutely come back. And usually what you will find, like if you looked at Jonathan Smith when he went to Michigan State, a ton of Michigan State guys went in the portal before he got there. A ton are now going back to Michigan State because they've gotten a chance to talk to him, learned about his vision, what he's about, got to know him a little bit. And so that's a real common thing right now. That dynamic is going to happen at Washington. So you could very easily see Austin Mack at Washington again. Because right now, Demarcus Davis is the only quarterback on scholarship at Washington right now, technically. Now,
Demarcus is like, man, I made the right choice.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And to be honest with you, with a guy like Fish and with the offense they run, it could end up being a phenomenal fit for a guy like that.
Yeah. Yeah, now, hey Scott, real quick. Keona White entered the transfer portal. Wasn't he committed to Arizona?
Yes, he was. Yep.
So they've got a good shot of keeping him then.
Why did he decommit?
Yeah, that's what you got to think about.
And how was the decommit handled by Fish and his staff? There you go. That's what you really have to wait and see.
And his teammate Elijah Rushing was also really interested in Washington, and he ended up going to Arizona. So,
well, no, that brings
did,
up.
Did he?
That,
I thought he signed with someone else.
He may have signed with someone else. I can't remember. It's all very confusing.
But
the point is, there are guys down in Arizona now that will likely come with Fish and their coaches to Seattle because you look at Noah Fifita, their quarterback. You look at Teterola McMillan. You look at Jacob Cowling, because one of the coaches that we fully expected, you guys talked about, Kevin Cummings, receivers coach. Well, a guy like Teterola McMillan or Jacob Cowling, I don't know if Cowling's got any eligibility left, but Teterola McMillan for sure. Could you see him in Seattle?
Absolutely.
Distinct possibility.
Yeah, so I'm expecting a press conference tomorrow, Chris. Is that what you're guessing?
No, I expected all this to come out while we were covering the Washington UCLA basketball game today in a couple hours. That's what I was fully expecting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see maybe an announcement tonight with the official unveiling sometime tomorrow. So that could easily happen. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that's a little unnerving is, just a lot of people telling me that Jed Fish has got that wandering eye. I think he's with Wasserman. He's not with Jimmy Sexton, but
not yet.
People just saying he's waiting for that UCLA job and Chip Kelly to open up and the Florida job to open up or an NFL gig to open up. So it'll be interesting to see the contract terms and see what the buyout is. And, I think the thing that Washington needed more so than anything was somebody that was going to be here for a while, some stability. And I can't say I'm convinced of that right now. But it's early.
I fully agree with you, Kim. That was my biggest hesitation with Fish. If that wasn't something to, have a worry about, then really I didn't have any worries with anything else he's been able to do. He's a good recruiter, very good recruiter, actually, considering what he was recruiting to down there. He's a good developer of talent. He knows how to call an offense. He's got a modern offense. This isn't going to be Iowa. And he's got a good coaching tree. He's also, he's also only 47. The guy still has a good 15 to 20 years of coaching before he's going to be done, and everything. So the other thing to consider is I talked to somebody that all three of us know, and he said, I don't know why everybody's so concerned about Jed Fish having a wandering eye. He goes, I know he's taken a lot of jobs and only lasted an average of about 2.3 years or whatever it is. But he said a lot of those were because the head coach he worked for got fired or it was a job promotion for him. And he's not talking about a straight up like OC to OC kind of a deal. It was more, quarterback's coach to OC or wide receivers, whatever it was, assistant coach to OC and things like that. And he said, that's why he took a lot of the jobs that he took. And so this person said, I understand why everybody's concerned because Florida isn't that where he went to college? Isn't that what it was?
Yes.
He has a tie to them. So he graduated from Florida and, he would love to be in the NFL, I think, at some point. But, if Washington can get 4, 5, 6 years out of him, I think everything, you know, I think that you're in good shape. I mean, look, I will fully admit, I thought Kalen DeBoer was going to be here for 5 to 10 years at the University of Washington at minimum. I just, I had this, I naivete about me. I don't go into the Jed Fish one thinking that, but if Washington can get 4 or 5 years out of him, heck, he was at Arizona, what, 3 or 4 years, right? Whatever it was, you know, he's gone. He stuck around at a program that a lot of people wouldn't have stuck around at. And this is his first opportunity to go to a job at a Power Two school, because it really is a Power Two Power Two situation right now. And I think he sees a lot of benefits up here at the University of Washington.
And just to remind people, he spent 3 years at Arizona. 2021, he went 1-11. 2022, he went 5-7. And then this last year, he went 10-3, including a win in the Alamo Bowl.
And gave Washington everything they could handle the last couple of years.
Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah. You know, I always say, what does this mean for the University of Washington? And I'll tell you this, I'll give Washington credit. We've been through coaching searches before, Chris. They kept a lid on this. They really did. You know, we had it on pretty good authority that Jed Fish was interviewing. There's a lot of other names that were thrown out there that we could never verify, but no, they kept a tight lid on this.
Absolutely. No, this was well done. But again, still we're kind of recording all this while we're gathering in the information and making some pretty big assumptions about the information we're getting. Now, we've done this a while, so we feel pretty confident this is the direction it's going, and it should end up with Fish as Washington's next head coach. But yeah, this was a situation where they kept a lot of things under wraps. It's kind of the classic coaching search nowadays. You identify a few guys, you maybe let it known that some other guys might be interested. You see if their agents can go ahead and use that to maximize their leverage for an extension and a raise and all this. Meanwhile, all that stuff's going on in the right hand, and then the left hand is kind of over here doing something else, trying to find your next head coach without too much knowledge. But you know, it is also with the social networking age, once this smoke really hit kind of terminal velocity, it doesn't take long for this thing to turn into a full-on brush fire.
Scott, he doesn't have any time to rest. He's got to get up here. He's got to meet with the team. He's got to start contacting all of these guys who have entered the transfer portal, maybe talk to Roger Rosengarten possibly about returning, maybe talk to Dylan Johnson about possibly returning. I think that's a long shot, but you have to do that as well as, as well as developing a staff. And then spring football is only about 60 days away. He's going to have his hands full.
Yeah, absolutely. As in, they got to get into winter conditioning. Not only that, is Ron McKeefery going? Do we even know if Ron McKeefery is headed to Alabama
as a strength coach? Yeah,
as a strength coach. I mean, if you can keep him now, Jed Fish might have his guy that he brings with him from the University of Arizona. But in the off season, as much as the coaching staff is very important, and obviously it is, the strength and conditioning staff is the most important part of what any school, college football program does in the off season. And Ron McKeefery has these guys dialed in, and they know his workouts, and they were pushed real hard. They had done a good job. And, I really am interested to see what Ron McKeefery ends up doing.
Well, before Alabama offered Ryan Grubb the offensive coordinator position back at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They offered Ron McKeefery a job back there as well.
Oh, okay. Well, then he's probably gone.
They offered him too.
Yeah, and he has connections because he's coached at places like Tennessee, so that's not foreign to him at all.
No, it's too bad. He's a really good strength and conditioning coach.
Good dude too. The players love him.
The players love him. He was always great with us. He wasn't Ivan Lewis great with us, but he was a guy who, I mean, as much as I liked Tim
Saha.
I mean, he was a great guy to talk to off the record, but when you talk to him on the record, he was like, no, I'm not talking to you on the record. So, I mean, he was tough to deal with at times, but, McKeefery was always great with us. First time I ever attended winter workouts was with him, and that was last year. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening.
Ninth head coach we've covered, Chris Fetters. Number nine, and that would be 11 if you count Bob Gregory and Tui.
Well, yeah. Well, I wouldn't count those, but yeah, you could technically, I suppose.
Okay, I will say that it's like I said. Technically, it's only eight, Chris, because I don't count Tyrone.
There you go. Well, you guys kind of mentioned that it could be within 60 days or so when spring ball starts. Now, this could be something where it preempts it all the way to the beginning of April, because as we know, DeBoer split things up a little bit. They gave him a week or so last March. And then basically gave them a month and then finished it all off in April. That they may have so much work behind the scenes that they may have to delay it until the beginning of April, like most of Washington's spring practices have gone. So it'll be interesting to see how their calendar really goes moving forward.
Yeah, guys, I know that we could go all day on this, but I want to cut it short. We've got a lot of work to do, and we'll probably be podcasting again here shortly. We want to get this up for you guys. We try to get stuff out as fast as we can we don't want to jump the gun, but we're pretty confident in this one. So just wrap it up last minute, Scott.
Best case situation that Washington realistically had an opportunity to fill Kalen DeBoer's spot. Kalen DeBoer stuff happened real quick, and it really caught a lot of people off guard from what we're aware of. I'm sure Troy Dannon had some clue what was going on, but maybe not to the extent that it ended up being. But great hire. I think he can build a culture. I think he can recruit. I think this roster is going to look a lot different, but it's also going to have some familiar names that already in the portal, and I think he'll be able to reel them back in. So we'll be real interesting to see what he's able to build. Can Washington be a bowl team next year? I think they could, but he's got a lot of work ahead of him, and it's going to be kind of interesting and fun to cover at the same time.
Chris Setters, wrap it up.
Yeah, getting a guy like Jed Fish is going to be really, really interesting from the offensive point of view, because they have a lot of offensive pieces set, even with losing as many as they are. And Fish, he brings a real pro resume with him. He's a pro guy. And so that should be really appealing, not just to the Washington players looking to come back or even bringing up Arizona players, but also just scouring the network, because he clearly has a pretty wide array. He's been up and down the West Coast. He knows what that's like. He's a well-known name, well-respected. And like the quarterbacks, for instance, he has so much experience as a quarterbacks guy. You would think that would attract top quarterbacks. So even a guy like Will Rogers, who went back in the portal, could Will Rogers come back to Washington? 100%. 100%. If he knew that he was going to get coached by a guy like Jed Fish or Jimmy Doherty, what have you, that could be very appealing to a guy like Rogers. So we'll see what happens with that. It's going to be extremely busy, as Kim has pointed out. A lot of guys are going to be moving in and that, trying to figure out the coaches first. And then once the coaches are solidified, then it should be a mad scramble to see what kind of players they can get.
Again, just one more time, nothing has been officially announced, but we're confident enough to do this podcast. And it's like we always say, things can change, but boy, I'd put heavy money on this happening right now. So we just wanted to get this out for you guys as fast as we can. 4 o'clock basketball game today with Washington at UCLA, and UCLA coming off is bludgeoning, a good word, off of bludgeoning by Utah. So you might have an angry UCLA team at home against University of Washington this afternoon. So just for those who don't subscribe, we're still running that 60% off your annual subscription promotion. So there's a lot going to be happening. We're just, as the team said, we ain't done yet. There's still a lot of work to do. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells, along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.